Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think that, you know, it's a great question and a hard question to answer.
On 95.7 The Game.
Fat Tuesday, don't tell anyone I said it, I'll deny it. But yeah, the Niners have offensive line problems, so we're bringing in the offensive line.
Well, and maybe a couple of these guys could come in and help. I know one of them who might be close enough to where...
I think he'd like to.
Mungo. I don't know if he would like to, but I think he's available too.
Oh, he would like to. Yeah. Shut up!
Well,
yeah.
Shut up!
That's our guy.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman in his podcast talks about the interior offensive line and how they're kind of messing it up. Like, if they were not so bad, and I'm paraphrasing, but... They're the problem right now.
Well, here, you want to hear it?
I do want to hear it. I've heard it twice, but I want to hear it again.
This is from the Richard Sherman podcast on the Niners O-line.
The interior offensive line was the issue late in the game. And I knew that would be the Achilles heel for this team. But it's not just on the passing plays. Not just on from the pass protection standpoint. It's ridiculous on... Plays that are set up successfully. You got guys in space. All you got to do is block your guy. Block your guy, get in the way. Christian McCaffrey, let him do his work. And you can't even do that. And that's where it's starting to become devastating to this offense because you can draw up the perfect play. But if you have guys that are incompetent, unable to get the job done, unable to block people, unable to block linebackers, then you can't run these plays. And you should be able to expect your center and your guards to be able to get out in space and get up on a, you know, Levante David is an incredible player, all pro bowl, you know, big time guy, been playing for a long time. I got a ton of respect for him, but you should be able to at least be able to get in his way. He shouldn't be able to shock shed and tackle Christian McCaffrey right where they were. And I think that's happened throughout the season on plays that are drawn up well. And we're looking at the center, get up on guys, and just whiff.
Woo! I mean, he called them incompetent.
You shouldn't be able to shock shed. Like,
you got to be real careful when you say that fast, yeah, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, Grady's already ready for John Feliciano coming practicing. Up in five. But the defensive linemen come up.
Don't test me.
They shock you. They shock shed. They shock you. They put hands on you. And now you go back. And then they get hands on you again. And they shed you. And now you're in the hole. And here comes McCaffrey hoping that up. You know, hopefully my guard and my center were able to not get shock shed. And hopefully they were able to get to the second level. And if you move, like Vita Vea is a big guy. Shout out Milpitas High School. But if you can move him a little bit over... And then you have a run going up the middle, then McCaffrey can at least get through that line and get to the second level, make a linebacker miss, or you get a guard out there to make a block, and now you've got an explosive. And I'm looking at all the run plays that McCaffrey had, and most of them were, like he's talking about, shock shed. Like, the Bucs were able to shock your line, shed your block, and then now McCaffrey's running into a sea of, should be creamsicle, but it wasn't.
It's a big word. Incompetent.
That's
whoa.
Yep.
It's one thing to struggle, have a hard time with execution. Incompetent? Like, if you're working in a company and someone at a high level decides you're incompetent, you get fired. Like, that's how that works. Sherman was like, I don't mean to call out one guy, but let me go ahead and call out one guy.
People looking at PFF grades and things like that, and I hate to to harp on one guy, but it's just, it's been incredibly debilitating to this offense consistently. And there are plays that are drawn up for bigger gains that you can't get because one guy, you know, throws a fly in the soup. And that's stuff that they're going to have to address this offseason, no question about it. If they go again, like I said last year, if they go again with this same lineup, they're costing their team and they're leaving guys out to dry. And they're wasting Christian McCaffrey's years because he's making plays that could go the distance, could be bigger gains. But it's one guy every time that's throwing a fly in the soup. So that's something I'm sure Kyle Shanahan has addressed and will continue to address. They don't have an answer in-house right now. Maybe they try to address it at the trade deadline. But again, that's not a position you really bring somebody in and change things.
Now, he never says it, but he's talking about Jake Brendel. Is that correct, Grandy?
I assume. Yeah.
He's talking about the center, Jake Brendel.
Yeah. I mean, one guy. And a lot of times on any given play, it's one different guy. And if you want to look at the PFF grades, and he's talking about PFF grades and whatever, he doesn't really give that much credence to it, and he's right to not do that. But if you look at the PFF grades for the season for their five offensive linemen, Trent is mostly good, and McKivitz is mostly good, and then your center and your two guards are mostly bad. And I know Connor Colby's a rookie. Dominic Pooney's the one that's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me, and you watch that game on Sunday, and he had a couple of whiffs. He had a false start, a critical false start on a fourth and one. And then the center, Jake Brendel, if you can't control that middle of the line, the A-gap, as we like to call it, the two A-gaps, if you're getting A-gap, a lack of control, then you've got no chance to do anything.
No quarterback can handle pressure straight up the middle. No quarterback. I mean, unless you want to just have somebody scrambling for their life all the time. Like, sure, Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels can handle that better than most, but that's the pressure from the edge. You can roll out, you can step up in the pocket, you can do some things. If that pressure's coming straight up the middle, especially if you're Mac Jones with an injured leg, you're dead. You're dead, and you're going to get sacked more than five times in a game, which is exactly what happened. Let's go to Austin in Redwood City. Hey, Austin, thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, not much. Just chilling, listening to you guys.
Sweet, man. Thanks. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah. So the window from the Super Bowl is still open. Last time I checked, 4-2, not 2-4. So that window was still open. But to address the defensive line and the offensive line, man, hey, there's some things we got to move on from. Next season, this might be both the last season with us. He may not play next year. The following year for us, we got to make some type of trades. It's a rebuilding defense, basically. We got rid of Hufanga. We got rid of Greenlaw. We got rid of Armstead. It's about time. The window's closed. We got rid of Debo. The window is getting there. But as far as this season, the window's still open to be 4-2.
Interesting, Austin. Thanks. Go ahead. You had more?
And one more. Not only that, from Castry, he doing his thing. But at the end of the day, man, you got to hold him back from himself. You know, we got to give Robinson some touches, give some Robinson touches like they did Mason's. Where's Mason's touches at? Give that to Robinson so we can, you know, the door hold up for McKissick.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
McCaffrey for the rest of the season.
Austin, thanks. Yeah, the touch thing with Christian, I don't know, man. I'm done with it.
I get where everyone is.
Me too. I get where everyone's coming from. You're not wrong. I hear you. I don't know what everybody is supposed to do about it. You want to bring in a worse player to execute important plays?
I mean, if you want, whatever.
Like Brian Robinson is not Christian McCaffrey. By the way, he's not even Jordan Mason.
Not even to like execute important plays, but to execute any plays. And you know what? I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I live with a 3-year-old and I do breakfast every morning. And if you don't want to eat, don't eat. You want to be hungry? Be hungry, and I'm going to take you to school, and if you want to throw yourself on the carpet at 10:15, that's going to be on you and sadly on them, yep. And they get paid to deal with you, but you're not doing it. And so with Brian Robinson Jr., I want him to get more touches. They don't want him to get more touches, and they don't want him to eat his breakfast. So you know what? I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Give McCaffrey the ball every single time.
I look at it a little bit differently. I don't think that coaches in the league go into games the way we do. I don't think that they go, all right, we got to keep Christian under 20 touches, so let's sub in Brian here and here and here. The game evolves as you're playing it. You don't know if you're going to be down 7-0, 14-0. You don't know if you're going to be up 7-0, 14-0. Do you want to know why the 49ers keep putting McCaffrey in the game? They want a first down. They want a first down. That is how, in the moment, I believe the thought process to be. They want a first down. And if there's somebody that gives them a way better chance at a first down than someone else, that person goes in the game if he's healthy enough to do so. Is that going to wear him out? It might. It might. I think it's somewhat funny, though, that we're gonna worry about Christian wearing down and getting hurt in the face of all of these other players getting hurt who, in some cases, are younger than Christian, and they're not experiencing the reps that Christian is experiencing. I don't know if any of you have looked at your fantasy roster lately. Everybody's hurt. Everybody is getting hurt. You just played a team that is, by the way, Ibuka, multiple games.
Yep.
Multiple games. Bucky Irving, not coming back yet next week.
Yep. Evans, Godwin.
Godwin.
Yep.
All out.
And I told you, keep your eyes on Cade Otton. And he had a nice game, 5 catches.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
a nice game.
He was more impactful than Jake Tonjes.
Yes, he was.
More impactful than Luke Farrell.
Well, the Bucs offense was more impactful than the 49ers offense.
I mean, not really. If you look at the time of possession, Niners. Overall yardage, Niners.
Yeah, time of possession does nothing for me when you huck the ball over everybody's head and get a touchdown in 2 seconds.
Well, I mean, the Niners had explosives as well.
Not as explosive.
The game offensively was pretty balanced. It was pretty even, but the Niners had 2 turnovers, and that was the ball game. The thing about Brian Robinson Jr., he had 5 snaps. 5.
Yep.
And that is where, okay, you trade for a guy, you trade a 6th-round pick, which is not a lot, but it's a pick. It's draft capital, and he gets 5 snaps. Can we not come up with something where they can be out there together?
Where
you can have 2 running backs on the field at the same time, and you can scheme it up a little bit differently? I don't know.
Look,
that to me is where I get frustrated.
Well, but here's where this is how I would answer it. I've got to give the Niners, and maybe you could just say, well, then it was a bad move, and I'd hear you, but I got to give the Niners some room for, you know what? Maybe he's not as good as they thought he was. Like, does he look good to you when he's on the field?
He doesn't get a chance to play.
No, but when he does, like, here's the evidence.
Yeah, he looks all right.
He looks, very mid, right? Like, whatever.
I mean, is he as good as, I don't know, Jake Tonjes catching the ball?
It's a totally different position.
Right, but like, you put Juszczyk out at tight end, and you've got Brian Robinson for 5 snaps. How is he supposed to show you what he exactly is?
Again, this is the same thing that we talk about all the time when people want to see draft picks. It's like, we haven't had a chance to see him. They do. They're with them every single day. I think the evidence is everywhere with the other running backs behind Christian. They're disappointed. Isaac Garendo can't get on the field, and now they won't even let him return kicks. And did you notice who they subbed in to return kicks?
Yeah, Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson. Yep. And they don't stick you in to return kicks if they're worried about your health and being involved in the every down offense. That's not where they put you because it's super dangerous and physical and violent. So, this is just me. I haven't heard this, but I'm looking at their behavior. I don't think they're very impressed with Brian Robinson. And so they're trying to get first downs. And they like Christian's chances to do that
of course.
A lot better than Brian's.
So Christian plays 64 snaps, and he wound up with, what, 24, I think,
whatever
touches
it was,
overall.
Sure.
And so, yeah, he had 17 rushes. He had 7 catches. So actually 8 targets, 25 of his 64. He got the ball his way, thrown or carried. And when Brian Robinson's out there, he had 5 plays. So, like, can you put him out there for more? Can you give him more? Instead, what you have is you've got DeMarcus Robinson for a handful. You've got Juwan Jennings, who's mad. You've got Jake Tonjes, who wasn't targeted. I'm just looking at what they're doing offensively, and it's, yeah, it's all Christian, and I get that, but maybe you want to try to, I don't know, mix it up a little bit.
I mean, if you want 2nd and 8 instead of 2nd and 6, again, that...
Christian, you're getting 2nd and 8.
Okay, then maybe you get 2nd and 10. Like, I'm just going based on what I think they think. It doesn't look like... You're right. His numbers are going down, not up, as he gets to know the offense better.
Well, it's because he's not getting chances, and they're not always right.
No.
You put Sky Moore out there to return kicks, and how's that working out for you? Are they right about that?
I think you're misunderstanding what I said about his numbers are going down. His snap total is going down.
And his numbers are also going down.
Right.
You're right.
The snap total is going down
right, as
he gets to know the offense better. That tells me they're not very impressed with him.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is you went out and traded for him.
I understand
that. And now you don't believe in him. And you drafted Isaac Garendo, and he is healthy as a daisy, and yet you don't believe in him. So
there's your argument.
Maybe the problem is you.
Yes, you made
Debo
bad moves.
Samuel on a Monday night is looking spry, and he looks great, and yet you got rid of him. And so, like, personnel-wise, you brought in Brian Robinson, and you don't trust him. You brought in Sky Moore, and God, please stop letting him return kicks. You drafted Isaac Garendo,
and no one else
and
can
he
do it.
Can't play.
Right.
So
they're bad moves.
These are bad moves.
But you don't want them to try to justify the moves by putting them on the field more if they're not playing well, do you?
I don't know if they're playing well because I don't get to see them.
But they do.
They don't think that they're playing well.
They're in practice every day, and they don't like what they're seeing.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And
again, I don't know. That's not a report. That's my judgment based on what I'm seeing them do.
I'm no expert, and they're football experts, and I'm not. And you've got Juwan Jennings, who is yelling at the coach, and he played in 77% of the snaps, and he got, 3 targets in the game?
Yeah.
And so,
that's not on Kyle. That's on, that's on the function of the offense and Juwan and Mac. Like, it's clear Mac is looking for Kendrick.
Right.
You're looking for him.
It's on all of them.
Yeah.
It's on all of them. And they're all frustrated. You don't have George. You don't have Ayuk. You don't have a lot of guys that you'd like to have. I get that. But what you do have, I don't think that you are deploying in the right way.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't think they're loving what they're getting when he is out there. Nick in Berkeley is next up. Y'all see the window as open, closed, or other. Hey, Nick, thank you for calling Willie and Dibby. What you got?
Man, the window's open, but the screen is torn. You feel me? It's like, it's like this, man. Like, and what we're talking about is attributes, man. Attributes of players that fit in certain systems. And so, why did we get rid of, that previous caller? He said he listed 3 players that we got rid of. And this ain't a Shan, but it's an organizational thing, man. Like, we got rid of Delanie Walker right in his prime. He rolls off 8 Pro Bowls in a row. Like, why would we do that? He's the leading catcher on the leading receiver on the team, and he played multiple positions.
That was a completely different Nick, breathe. That was a completely different regime, but okay, go ahead. Delanie Walker, that was a long time ago.
I know. But right now, currently, I'm just like, why did we get rid of Mason? And this is what I was trying to compare it to, because, we should have kept Mason and Greenlaw. Well, you can't expect players not to get hurt. But, you got 5 players around. And why are we not drafting the best player on the board every time? We get, we get these random picks of these guys, and everyone's scratching their head, what? And there's, some other lineman or some other special teams guy, potentially some athlete on the board, and we just got with the Jaguars, man. They just out physical this, they had more.
Well, Nick, I think they're trying. Nick, thank you. I think all teams are trying to pick the right guy, and it's a hell of a math problem. And you have your positional need. You have the best guy available. The draft is a crapshoot. I'm going to laugh every time someone thinks the 49ers are just awful at the draft. That just means that you're not looking at what other teams do in the draft. Everybody has hits and misses. Is their batting average higher or lower than others? I don't know. Have to do a super, super deep dive.
Deep dive, yeah.
I think that they've got a lot of homegrown players they like, and so they get credit for that. Do they have some high-profile misses? You damn well better believe they do. On and on and on. By the way, how many Pro Bowls did Delanie Walker have after he left?
Three.
Three, okay.
Three in a row.
Not eight in a row.
Three in a row. Three in a row. But
that's fine.
And you can't keep every good player, and you and I were talking yesterday about Aaron Banks, who, you could have kept Aaron Banks, and, man, it'd be nice to have a guard like that here, although he's been hurt this year, but the contract he got, you didn't want to pay. You had Dominic Pooney on a rookie deal, and you thought, man, Dominic as a rookie, boy, we like the way this is trending. And Dominic Pooney's having a bad year, and I'm going to ask John Feliciano at 5 o'clock today, former Niner offensive lineman, about do linemen have slumps? Because he looks to me like he is slumping.
Shut up!
That's probably going to be his answer.
Whether or not he's hurt, if you're hurt, it doesn't mean that you have to false start on fourth and one.
No, it doesn't.
That to me is mental.
It doesn't.
Not physical, John.
I mean, don't forget Jalen Moore, who, by the way, didn't even win a starting job with the Chiefs, but he started on Sunday night. Did you see him? Ooh, he was giving Aiden Hutchinson fits.
He was.
He played great.
Yep.
He played great, so don't forget that one either. But again,
do you know why he didn't start for the Chiefs this year?
Well, the Chiefs guy told us he didn't win the job.
Yeah, because they drafted a rookie in the first round, and he won the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy how that works.
No, look, if you want to make a point about the offensive line, the lack of going after talent in the draft is at minimum a head-scratcher. I know what the Niners' position has been in the past, which is we're not going to force a pick into the wrong spot. We're not going to take a third-round grade in the first round just because you want an offensive lineman. This was supposed to be a great D-line draft. They got a bunch of guys. Early returns, I'd say, are more positive than negative. But yes, I would love to see them invest a little bit more in the draft in the offensive line. Although, kind of an interesting graphic that came out yesterday that Grandy sent us, which is a graph of all of the teams in the NFL and how much draft capital percentage they put toward the offensive line. And you get a very mixed bag signal. The Niners are second to the bottom. In other words, only one team has invested even less than the 49ers. But of the top four teams, the four teams that have invested the least, three of them are the Bills, Broncos, and Niners. Pretty good organizations. And the one that's invested the most is the New Orleans Saints. Pretty bad organization. Now, there's
On what the timeline is based on when you invested in
that. It's
because the Eagles have invested a lot in it, but they've done it a while ago.
Actually, well, I guess. Like, the graphic would actually say otherwise. The Eagles are kind of middle of the pack in the NFL in terms of what they've invested in the O-line. But one of the teams that's invested a ton in the O-line is the Chargers. And then they lost two offensive linemen to major, major injury this year. And that crushes you. So you get a mixed bag there, but I think it's a fair question.
It depends on like where you draw the line, because I'm looking at the Eagles' depth chart, and they drafted Lane Johnson in 2013 in the first round, and he's still there. So that, to me, would count. I don't know if the graphic
the time
is
frame of the data is the Shanahan and Lynch era.
Okay. Since 2017.
Okay.
2017 to now.
All right.
And actually, the Eagles are closer to the bottom than they are to the top. But they're middle of the pack-ish, but closer to the bottom in terms of investment than they are to the top.
Okay. And I wonder, and I have to look at the graphic to get exactly what the reference is, because I'm looking here, and it's Jordan Mailata, who was a seventh-round pick in 2018, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Tyler Steen, all drafted by the Eagles, and 2 seconds and a third and a seventh. And so, I mean, does it mean that you have to draft high draft picks? Is that where, is it just like draft picks at all? Is it weighted based on what round?
The data that Willard's referring to is weighted by round.
Oh,
so
okay,
a first-round pick means a whole lot more than a seventh-round pick.
Okay, and So that to me is, it's a good graphic. It's interesting, but at the same time, I look at Philadelphia and like Jordan Mailata, who was a seventh-round pick, and he's there now 8 years later. That becomes a much more heavily weighted pick than, you know, taking a guy like, I don't know, somebody who you drafted in the first round and then you eventually traded.
Right. All right, more on this for sure, because it's Fat Tuesday, so here comes our offensive lineman to help us out. Schlereth in 5 minutes. John Feliciano in 2 hours. Grandy's grades are going to be today. That ought to be interesting. I'm giving everybody a pass. We're brought to you by Fremont
come
Bank.
Come on.
Here for you.
No, come on.
No, probably not. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dib.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.